discourage you instead of encourage you. Maybe you heard something from the doctor that you didn't want to hear. Maybe there's problems in your family or in your finances or in your health. You know, God knows everything that's going on with you. And God still sees right here, He's made you to be able to stand. If you've got a need and you say, Lord, I need you right here in this place, I'm going to ask you to lift up your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we welcome you into this service. God, I ask that you'd have your way right now in this place. Lord, I thank you for where conviction needs to fall. God, I ask that it fall. Lord, where faith needs to grow, Lord, I ask that you'd increase our faith. God, I ask that you'd bless each person, God, right here and right now. Lord, nobody's here by accident. So, Lord, I thank you right now that they leave here with what you intended for them to leave with, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm excited about the Word of God this morning. And if you don't hear another word that I say, I want to make sure that you hear this one because this is the most important one of the day. God loves you. And God is not mad at you. God is not looking for ways to punish you and to make your life miserable. I want you to hear it this morning. God loves you. And He is meeting you right where you're at. There will never be another service where it's just like this because there's never going to be another time where every person that's in here today is going to be in here. And so I believe that the Lord and the Holy Spirit are already in this service. I'm going to ask you to turn to Luke chapter 23. And we're going to begin at verse 44. And if you have a cell phone, I'm going to ask you to turn it on silent. Lord, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you that this word goes to the hearts. Lord, right now, I thank you, God, that it's planted on good ground. God, as it goes out, Lord, I thank you that you encourage us, God, and inspire us, Lord, and give us motivation to live out the sermon here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 23, verse 44. And here's Jesus. And he is on the cross. He has just been crucified, and these are the last few moments of his life here on earth. And he says, it says here, it was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. For the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two, and Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And when he had said this, he breathed his last. And I'm going to read the words of Jesus one more time. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And the Word of God tells us to imitate Christ. And we're going to see here today your best place, your most freest place, your best life is in the hands of Jesus, or in the hands of God. And if Jesus himself put himself in the hands of God, we should also. We should also. Life has a very bad habit of getting very real. And there are some things that exactly what I said this morning, unless God comes into your situation and intervenes for you, there's some folks and there's some things that will go very wrong. And thank God that we serve a very gracious and merciful God. And I'm going to explain to you today and teach you today. We need to all make the decision to put our life, our daily life, into His hands. Into His hands. And I believe that that is a daily thing. I got saved when I was 7 years old, but I'm going to explain this to you. Joe, I recommit myself to Him daily. Daily. Because no 2 days on this earth are the same. And we need Him in our life with the Holy Spirit flowing through all of our plans and all of our decisions and all of our actions. See, we need Him on a daily basis. And here is Christ. And in the very last moments of His life, He prays and He talks to His Father. He says, into your hands, nobody else's. Nobody else's. See, there's a part of your life that nobody else can help you with but God. There's a part of your addiction that nobody else can help you with but God. There's a part of your family struggle that nobody else and nothing else can help you but the living God. See, all of your problems, they have a name. Whether it's cancer, whether it's addiction, whether it's pornography, whether it's gambling, whether it's whatever it is, at the name of Jesus, every single knee has got to bow down. There's going to be a day that it doesn't matter if people believed in Christ or not. Every single tongue, and God will make sure of it, every single tongue is going to confess that He's Lord. And because of that, there are things in our life that will never go right until we include Christ in those things. And Jesus here, He says, Father, into Your hands I commit my spirit. I encourage you to commit your life and to commit your spirit into His hands. Into His hands. And in His hand is the best place for you to be. Nothing slips through the hands of God. When your life feels like you can't hold it in your hand, you got little things and they're just slipping through the finger, through your fingers, God's not like that. Nothing will slip through His hands. I want to read verse 46 in the CEV version, because this is Christ. And see, if Christ had to do these things, we're going to really have to do them. And I love the CEV version because it says that Jesus shouted. See, He still had the ability, the vigor, the energy that after He had been beaten beyond recognition, crucified, He became sin for us. See, it's one thing for Him to take sin, but He took it, number one, but He also became it. He who knew no sin, the only perfect person on the planet, became sin. He became every nasty thing that we would ever do. He became every thought that was not right that we would ever think. And it says here that He shouted and He said, Father, I put myself in Your hands. I put myself in Your hands. See, there's power for the person that says, you know what, God, my way didn't work. Lord, it never works. God, it'll never work because, Lord, You are the author and the finisher of my faith. So, God, right now, I put myself in Your hands. See, nobody can do that for you. We live in a society where everybody is entitled, everybody thinks that they're owed something, and everybody wants to get all offended at every little thing. And I'm going to tell you something in here today. The Word of God is offensive because it will tell you when you're wrong. It will tell you when you need to change. It will tell you when you're not doing what you should do. And the Word tells us, Jesus, this is the best model for your life. He says, I put myself in Your hands. A lot of the hardships that we go through, we put ourselves there. We put ourselves there. And you say, Pastor Kelly, I don't even know how to get myself out of this. And I'm going to explain this to you. You don't. You don't get yourself out of it. What you do is you get that white flag and you wave it around, and that's called surrender. And you tell God, Lord, I surrender. I surrender to You, and I surrender to what You have for me. You'll never be happy and joyful in your life when you're doing it your way. Amen. You can try to do it your way. Maybe it'll work for a little bit. God loves you in here. And as I meditated and I said, Lord, what do You want people to hear today? He wants y'all to put yourself in His hands. Put yourself in His hands. Put every decision that you're going to have to make, put it in His hands. Put your family in His hands. Put your health in His hands. Put your will and what you want to do, put it in His hands and say, God, Your will. Your will, God. And so we see Jesus. We see Him. He says, I put myself, God, Father, in Your hands. I'm going to put myself there. And nobody can do that for us. Nobody can do it for us. That's why in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, the Word of God says, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anybody will let me come in, I will come in and I will sup with him." I used to think that this was just the door to salvation, but really it's the door to every place in our life that we don't have the courage to just open up and say, "God, come right on in." See, God will stand at those doors and he will knock. And he's such a patient, loving God that he'll keep knocking. I don't know if it's the door of depression for you. I don't know if it's the door of anxiety for you, the door of addiction for you, the door of despair for you, the door of grief, but what I can tell you today is you mark it down. God is standing at the heart's doors of people in this very room, and he's knocking, and he's saying, "I want you to put yourself in the palm of my hand, because that is the safest place for you to be." Because the Word of God, it tells us in this life, you're going to have trials and you're going to have tribulation. But there's a promise there. And he says, "But be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world." Why did he overcome? For you. For you. For you. God loves you in here this morning. He loves you. God brought you here for you to hear that he loves you. I think there's some people and you got a wrong idea about God. But I know God to be so merciful and so graceful and so loving and kind. Go with me now to Psalms chapter 31. We're going to look at verses 4 through 8. And Jesus was quoting verse 5 here when he said on the cross, "I commit my spirit to you." He was actually quoting the Word of God that David said in the Psalms. And so Psalms chapter 31, let's start at verse 4. And we're going to break this down because, see, I like for people to have a good church experience. I think it's great to make people smile and give you a hat with lights on and sequins and see all these things. That's all good, because you know what? You should go to church and you should feel joy. But if that's all you do is feel it in here, that's not good. The goal is to get you to live it out and feel it out there. See, when you're on your own and you're having a bad day and you're thinking about giving up, the goal is for you to say, "You know what? There's no way I'm giving up. I don't care what's going on in my life. God, I've put my life in your hands. So, Lord, it's your obligation to do something with me. Here I am. I'm going to do whatever you tell me to do, Lord." And so, in verse 4, it says here, "Free me from the trap that is set for me." And here's David. David was one of the smartest people because he understood a whole lot about life. I'm going to read this again. "Free me from the trap that is set for me." I want to explain something to you. You have an enemy and you have an adversary. And the Bible describes him as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The devil comes to do three things from you: to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But God said, "I have come that they would have life and have it in abundance." And have it in abundance. See, there's always two forces wanting to work in your life. And you've got the power and the anointing and the favor of God wanting to work in your life. And you've also got the destruction and the evilness that is Satan wanting to come against everything that God wants to do in your life. Let me tell you what, at the very end, the book always says God wins. They will never translate that to say anything else. But there is a trap that is set for people. David realized that and he said, "Free me from the trap that is set for me." That is set for me. I wholeheartedly believe that every person that has breath in their lungs, the devil sets traps for them. sets traps for them. How many of you have ever had a little mouse problem? Okay. This is the part of my message where I get personal with you. All right. I'm just going to tell you that the best mouse trap that you're ever going to get is one of those sticky ones. Have y'all ever used those? That will stop them little things dead in their tracks. Now, I don't like mice and I don't like bugs. And Frank tells me, I've never had a mouse come down to this trailer until recently. Now, I feel like he's trying to blame that on me. And I'm not accepting that. But I started to notice some things. How many of you are animal lovers in here? I really am too. And I love animals. And we like to feed them. And there's a whole bunch of different ones down on the lake, okay? So he bought some sunflower seeds. And we enjoy watching the squirrels come because I feel like they're my cousins. And I'm like, don't hit the squirrel, Frank, because, you know, that's probably a family member of mine, you know, because I always say I've got all these little squirrels that like to flop around in my head and make me go all different directions. So we enjoy watching the squirrels eat, and we enjoy watching the birds come. And this is the craziest thing, Moni. I started noticing that we were having a mouse in the house. And I don't do that. I don't like that kind of thing. That totally creeps me out. So we got one of them glue traps. But here's what I started noticing about them. They were taking those sunflower seeds that would belong to the squirrels and the birds, and they were getting them, and this is how I knew I had a problem, and they were taking them in the house. I've never heard of such a thing as a mouse taking a sunflower seed and taking it in the house. He's probably watching TV with me, and I never knew it. And then he's like, I don't like the shows this chick watches. It's all drama. And then we started seeing sunflower seeds in the house. And I started tuning myself into what this could be. And I thought, I think there's mice coming in here. And I thought it was mice or squirrels. And Frank was like, there's no way there would be a squirrel in here, Kelly, that we wouldn't see. I'm like, all right. So we set a trap. And I set it by the dresser. And, well, first I caught Sammy. Sammy's my baby. Where's Kathy? Kathy, raise your hand. That is Sammy's grandma. And Sammy is like, I mean, he is up there in my loves. I mean, I love this dog. And he's a furball, and he got the side of his face caught in this trap. I put one behind the bed. And Sammy, he never goes under the bed, but then he decides all of a sudden he's going under the bed. Then he comes out with this thing stuck to his face. So then I had to give him one of them at-home haircuts that always makes you look terrible. So like the half of this dog's face is totally messed up. And then we get there, so it's traumatizing for me and him both to give him this haircut because he's like thinking he's dying or something. So get that taken care of. He looks totally weird. He still looks weird because, you know, we've got to let this hair grow out. Then about 2 o'clock in the morning, because, you know, mice don't want to come out and play with you during normal hours. Neither does the devil, okay? The devil want to get you when you're tired, when you're cranky, when it's Sunday. The devil gets you very strategically, okay? And I have insomnia. How many people have insomnia here? Okay, so you would get this. Sometimes it takes a while for you to get to sleep. And it does me, because I'm just sitting there like, and I could hear Frank snoring. And he only snores when he's very tired. And I usually try to let him be, you know, when he's very tired. So sometimes I'll just wake up and start talking to him, you know. I need my shrink right now at 3 o'clock, okay? He's very tired. And all of a sudden, I hear this mouse caught. And then I hear him flip around and do aerobics on this glue trap, and he has flipped himself where he is touching the carpet and the trap is on top of him. And he kept whining, the mouse did, and I was like, I love animals. I'm starting to feel very guilty about this. And Frank is snoring, and I'm also feeling guilty about what I'm about to do to him. But here's one thing I know about myself. Jimmy, there is no way on this earth that I am touching that trap or that mouse or having anything to do with it. So I started nudging Frank. Frank, wake up. Sweetheart. That mouse is caught. He finally comes out of a deep sleep. He has got to be the most patient person that I know. Because if you ever wake me up, I'm going to turn into the devil right there. I mean, you better let me sleep. He gets up, doesn't say one word except for, okay, sweetheart. Very sweet man. Turns the light on. Silence. Gets the trap. Sure enough, the thing did aerobics, like I said. He takes it outside, puts it on the ground, and all I could hear was, he crawls back into bed, and that was it. He smacked that thing. The next morning, I woke up and I was like, I heard some smacking going on. Was that me or was that the Ambien? And he goes, I didn't want it to suffer. What am I saying for you? David's praying here and he's talking to God and he says, God, keep me from the trap that's set for me. How do we keep ourselves from the trap that's set for us? The only really way to do that is put yourself in the palm of his hand. And he says, keep me from the trap that is set for me, for you are my refuge. See, when you really want to talk about safety and refuge, the only safety that you really have on this earth is Christ. That's it. There's nothing else. It says, and then here's David. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Here's David. David is a man that God describes as a man after his own heart. And he says, into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord, the God of truth. I hate those who cling to worthless idols. I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction and knew the anguish of my soul. I want to tell you this morning, God knows exactly where you're at. God knows every moment that you've cried in private. He knows every tear. He knows the amount of tears that you've cried. He knows the anguish, the despair, the hurt, the suffering. He knows those things. And David said, I trust in the Lord. I trust in the Lord. And here's what I can tell you this morning. You can trust God. You can trust him. There's some folks, and you're like, you know, I've been burned so bad in my life, I just cannot trust anything or anybody. And I want to tell you something this morning. You can trust God. You can trust him, and he is not going to let you down. Amen. Whatever is going on in your life, he already knew, and he already, from before you were born, he started making a way where there was no way. And he loves you in here today. He's not left. He's working all things out for your good. And so it says, you have not handed me over to the enemy, but have set my feet in a spacious place. Do you know how many times God could have handed you over, but he didn't? How many times that he saved you and saved your life that you don't even know about? It says, you could have handed me over to my enemy, but you didn't. And then he did something else. But you set my feet in a spacious place. Why did God do that? So David could have plenty of room to grow. God's going to put you in a spacious place in your life. See, maybe you feel all bottled up inside. Maybe there's things that you can't even talk about to anybody else. Let me tell you something. You can trust God. The traps that the enemy has made for you, God's the only one that can get you to where you don't even go towards the trap. And I guarantee you, God can make a way for you when there was not a way before. And the very thing that you are afraid of is the very thing that God's going to make sure don't happen to you. There's people in here and you are struggling with the what if. What if this happens? God's saying, what if I just show up? You spend a lot of time worrying about things that are never going to happen. Go with me to verse 15, just a few verses down. We need to understand that there's a trap for us, but we also need to understand when we're in the palm of God's hand, that's the best place for us. Verse 15 says this, my times are in your hands. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from my enemies and from those who pursue me. You know, when we put our life in his hands, like I said, I believe that that's a daily thing. But when we do that, we're also giving God the freedom to use all of our time the way that he wants us to use our time. See, there's people, and you've been stuck for years in a cycle. I don't know what that cycle could be, but you know, because you're the one sitting here feeling that right now. Think about some of the years that you've spent and devoted to things. That God never ordained for your life. That he never ordained for your life. When we put our life in his hands, we're also giving him the permission to use all of our time however he sees fit. If you're someone and you say, you know, I've wasted years in this addiction. I have wasted years in this way of thinking. I have years invested in something that just stole my youth. Well, great. You know what? Today's the day of salvation for you because today's the day you can do something different. There's people and you're saying, you know, I was like this. My whole family's like this. My mama's like this. We're all like this, and we just have to live with it. You know, you don't have to live with mediocrity in your life just because that's what you're used to. Because at any point in time, you can start with today, and you can say, you know what, God, today I'm going to put myself completely in your hands. Brenda, babe, has God done things in your life that you never thought could happen? I mean, we're studying in our Bible study in Romans. It tells us, you know, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I'm going to tell you something. The world has a pattern and the world has a mold for you, and it will keep you in that mold until you decide one day, I don't want to be in a box anymore. God, I'm going to give you everything that I am, and Lord, I want everything that you are. See, that's an exchange. It's an exchange. And where we get wrong is when we want to take some of our old self into our new life. And see, God doesn't want that. God wants to give you a whole new life. And in order to do that, there's things that you've got to let loose of and just say, God, this was never good for me and I'm going to give it to you. People, places, and things are some of the most important things in your life. But put yourself in His hand and let Him spend your time how He wants you to spend your time. Go with me now to 2 Samuel chapter 23. We're going to look at verse 46. This is David. Second Samuel, chapter 23. Well, my dad knows the Bible better than anybody else. Let me get my phone. How many of you have ever made a mistake in public? He goes, that's got to be Larry Baker. Brother Larry, I'm going to find this verse. And until I find this verse, I want you to talk to the folks. Larry Baker is one of the sweetest men of God that I know. And Pastor Kay is going to find this verse.
Good day. Things are going to do, there's marvelous things going to happen in the future. Marvelous things. God's going to do some healing. God's going to redirect some lives. I got people I'm believing to get saved. I got children I'm believing to come and serve God and really serve God. See, there's a difference between saying I know God and really selling out to God and doing whatever God wants you to do and going wherever He wants you to go. And so, you know, the thing is that you found it yet?
You keep going.
You found 46?
No. That miracle did not occur.
I want to tell you something. I love Kelly. She's like a daughter to me. And I've always treated her that way. It's like my own. And, you know, I have to share with Brother Angelo. That's because he's her daddy, you know. But that's okay, too. But God is good. If we'll just let Him, if we'll just stand back and let God do what He wants to do in our life, great things will happen. The problem is, our desires and our self gets in the way. The Word says this, delight thyself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Why? When you start delighting in God, guess whose desires you will have? You will have His desires for your life. That's okay, I'm through.
Amen. That is 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 14. You know, it used to really mess with me when I would make a mistake, but you know what? I always think that helps somebody. Because I can tell you this, nobody's beyond a mistake. And I liked what Brother Larry said. He said, you know, God's desires for you. And I want you to understand this morning, God has a desire when it comes to your life. He has things that He desires just specifically for you. How many parents are in here today? Y'all got kids. There's things inside of every parent's heart that you say, I desire and you have specifics for each one of your kids. And God is the same way. So 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 14, and we're talking about David here. 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 14. Siri is also here with us. And here's David. And David had a mess up. How many of you ever had a mess up? You've done a number 10, and you're like, ugh. I always hate those mess ups because I always know it took me getting out of his will to do that. Let's say that again. When you have a real bad mess up, it took you knowingly getting out of his will to have one of those. And then you knowingly, consciously, and intentionally have to get yourself back in line with what his will is for your life. And here's David. And, you know, sometimes we do things and we think it's not a big deal. This won't affect me. And I want to explain something to you. Sometimes the smallest thing that you don't think is going to really affect much in your life, the Word of God says that it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. And sometimes it's those very, very little things that you think will not make a bit of difference that you go ahead and you compromise on and you go ahead and you do that cost you the most. That gets you the most messed up. That gets you the most broken. That gets you the most out in left field, that costs you the most, where it hits you the most, where it matters the most. And here's David. David did a very small thing, but to God it was a very big thing. They were in the middle of war, and he did a census. He began to count his armies. And that was prideful of him to do. Because what he was saying was, God, I've got enough army, I don't need you. You never get to that place in your life where you don't need God. If you're on the mountain, you better know that God's the one that put you there. Stay very humble or you'll get down again. That's what I've learned. That's what I've learned. And so here's David. And he did a very small thing, but it was a very big deal. He did a very small thing, but it was a very big deal. And God did not approve of it. Keep yourself in the palm of his hand. You're going to be less likely to make mistakes there. You're going to be less likely to spend years in the palm of his hand and it not go good. See, out of his hand, anything can happen. Keep yourself in his hand. Here's David. He messes up. David had a lot of messes up, and God still says, this is a guy after my own heart. I love him. He's my friend. Amen. God sent a prophet named Gad to him. And the Lord told Gad, you give David three options, but I'm punishing him for what he did. Y'all ever do that to your kids? You can have time out, you can have a spanking, or you can give up your electronics, something. God gave David three options for what his punishment would be, and he let him pick. David said to Gad, and this is a moment when David is being corrected, and he still said something amazing in this moment. And this is how we need to be when it matters the most. When we're, you know, even in moments where you're being corrected by God, he only chastises and corrects those that he loves. Amen? So Gad gives him the three options. And David said to Gad, I am in deep distress. I am in deep doo-doo. I am in deep despair over what I did. I'm hurt at what I did. I'm grieved at what I did. If David would have been in tune with God and would have been listening, he wouldn't have made this mistake, because it was a prideful mistake. It didn't have to happen. David says, I am in deep distress. And then he makes his choice. He says, let us fall into the hands of the Lord. What did he say? I'm not choosing because I don't know what punishment is best for my life. I can't choose. I'm upset with myself that I did something that I knew I shouldn't do. I stepped out of the will that God had for me, and now I've got to pick what my punishment's going to be, and he couldn't do it. And he said the one thing that was right. And he said this right here. Let us fall into the hands of the Lord. What was he really saying? I want to get back in his hands. God, you choose how to correct me. Sometimes in the palm of his hand, there's correction there. God didn't love you, he wouldn't correct you. He would let you go on and live a terrible life. But he loves you. David says, let us fall into the hands of the Lord. And he gives his reason. And this is the same reason that I'm giving you today. See, if I could just choose and check a box by your name and say, okay, Mary Baker's going to, I'm going to put her in God's hand, check. I'm going to put CC there too. I'm going to put Brother Angelo there. And we just went down the line. I would do that. But you have to check that box for your own life. That's why the Word of God says, now you choose you this day. What do you want? Do you want a blessing or a curse? Do you want life or do you want death? Because you know what? It's a daily choice. It's a daily choice. And David says, let us fall into the hands of the Lord, for his mercy is great. For his mercy is great. But do not let me fall into the hands of men. See, when everybody has ran out of mercy for you, God hasn't. When everybody has turned their back on you, God hasn't. I've showed you today where Jesus said, Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit. David says, God, into your hands I commit my spirit. And then he says, Lord, I don't know how to pick what even the right punishment is for me. So God, let me fall into your hands because I know that you're full of mercy. See, there's things in your life and you're thinking, God, I don't know how I got myself here. And Lord, I don't know how to get out of here. And I'm going to tell you today, getting out of there is as simple as saying, God, I surrender and I'm going to put myself in your hands. And God, even on my worst day, I'm not hopping out of there. Go with me to Acts chapter 7. We're going to look at verse 54 through 60. For all the clock watchers, we got 10 minutes and I don't think I'm going to use them all. Shut up, Sam. I have to watch Sam. Sam loves me so much, I could say anything and he would be like, amen, glory to God for going with her. Acts chapter 7, verse 54. Here's Stephen. He was also a man of God. And he was martyred. He was murdered for the sake of Christ, defending Christ. And he said, here's Stephen. And he's being judged. And it says, when they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, here he is. He's about to get stoned. And here the Holy Spirit shows up in his life. And he's full of the Holy Spirit. And it says, but Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And at this, they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him. They dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. Verse 59. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed. See, when life is hitting you in every direction, here's what Stephen did. He prayed, and this was his prayer. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. God wants to know, does he have you on your worst day? Does he have you? Does he have your life on your worst day? When you don't think that anything could be any worse, does he have you then? Does he have you then? Are you committed then? Does he have you? Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Then he prays the second time. And what is he asking for? Mercy for the people that are doing that to him. See, when you're in the palms of God's hands, there's something about being there. There's God's grace and it washes over you. And you have mercy for people that otherwise you would just hate. And he prays for them. And when he said this, he fell asleep. He died. Last place for me this morning, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. This is for the person, and you're trying to make sense out of some things that's gone on in your life. You're trying to think, how could this have happened? One of the biggest things about being in God's hands is there's a trust there. And you can trust God. And he says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. What I want to tell you this morning is there's some things that here on this earth, you're not going to understand completely why they happened. And God's asking you to not lean on what you can understand, but he's asking you to trust him. He's asking you to trust him. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways, acknowledge him. And he will make your paths straight. He will make your paths straight. This morning, as I've ministered, I ask you, are you in his hands? Have you put yourself in the palm of his hand? I don't do this every service. I don't even do it once a month. Does anybody in here, do you need to be saved this morning? Do you need to be saved? If you need to be saved, I want you to raise your hand. If you need to be saved, I'm going to ask you to come up. If that doesn't offend you, and if it does offend you, I don't know what to tell you. See, God's knocking on people's heart this morning. Do you need to be saved? You say, God, I need to put myself in the palm of your hand. If you say, you know what, I've been saved, but I'm away from the Lord right now. I'm going to give you a moment. Because I believe that God has been convicting hearts all service long. All service long. God loves you. If you're sitting in your seat and you've got anxiety about this, you don't like to get up in front of people, I want to tell you this. God has gotten up for you so many times. And He loves you. And He loves you. And He cares about you. This moment is about to be over. If you need to be up here, I would get yourself up here. Because all throughout the Word of God, you see God and you see Him troubling the waters, knocking on hearts' doors. Anybody else need to be up here? Okay. I'm going to ask y'all to come up, take each other by the hand. I don't know who you are.
My name is Tim McAndrews.
You have stood out to me all service long. And I just want to tell you, God has got